Welcome back. I'm Logan, your host for the Daily Bible Reading Podcast, where we are journeying through the Bible chronologically, taking it one day at a time.
Today is day number 245, and we will be looking at the next two chapters of the book of Ezekiel, chapters 20 and 21. There, we are going to see God's response to rebellion in both judgment and restoration. I'm excited to get started, but let's pray before we begin. Father, my heart is heavy for the lost today. You are the Father of all peoples, but your children, made in your image and for your glory, have gone astray in their sin. And there are billions of people that will close their eyes to sleep tonight, having never heard of the good news of Jesus Christ. We are so caught up in squabbling over different theological debates that, in the end, are only self-serving, while there is an unfinished task in front of us. I pray that you would call your people back to the Great Commission. Light a fire underneath us for lost souls. We long to see you face to face, but Lord, you said in Matthew chapter 24 that the end wouldn't come until the work of spreading the gospel to the ends of the earth is done. So clearly we aren't done because you haven't come back. So Lord, I pray that as we read your word today, that you would transform our hearts and give us a passion to reach those that do not know. There are billions more who live in places where the gospel is freely proclaimed, and we are just too self-absorbed and self-conscious to share our faith with those who are dying. They are on fire, and we can't be bothered to stop drinking from the hose and aim it toward them. Help us to see that the deep longing in our heart to be happy will be satisfied when we are doing the thing that we were created to do. And we were literally created to be image bearers of God. Now, I want you to think about your life and ask yourself whether when people look at you, if they see more of you or more of Christ. If they don't walk away from you thinking about Jesus, then you still have work to do. We are more connected and have more opportunities to spread the gospel in every corner of our lives, but we're happy to be amused with the entertainment that is lobbed at us. It's not even good, it's just a distraction. And in doing this, we are falling into the same trap as our mother Eve, believing the lie of the serpent that we know better than God, that there will be a time for sharing our faith tomorrow, that it's just okay to enjoy ourselves and take it easy. I don't know about you, but I want to be like Paul, poured out like a drink offering. And when I come to the end of my life, I want to be able to say that people saw more of Christ than they did of me. Our unreached people group of the day is the estimated 15,000 Payunal Ashaninka of Peru. South America has many of these small indigenous people groups, and one of them are the Payunal Ashaninka, who live in the grassy plateaus of the eastern Andean foothills of Peru. They have suffered from enslavement and devastating epidemics during the 20th century, as well as from terrorist groups in the early 1990s. The Payunal Ashaninka have been exposed to the gospel message, and in addition, there are some missions agencies that are translating the New Testament into their dialect. And the good news is that there are now 4 or 5 indigenous evangelical churches in the early stages of development. Animism still has a strong grip on the lives of the Payunal Ashaninka. They live a subsistence lifestyle, connected to the land with only enough food for 1 or 2 days, and they must work hard to produce enough food to eat. Their hunters simply aren't finding enough game. Missionaries who can offer medical treatment and perhaps a facility would greatly improve their lives. Also, teachers who are committed to their students' welfare would help in improving their lives into the future. So, oh God, we pray that these infant churches would grow strong and would flourish in the fertile soil of Peru. We pray that they would blossom into a movement to Christ this decade. We pray that the Payunal Ashaninka would receive from your hand enough to improve their lives physically, and that they would take those blessings from your hand and invest them in the work of the gospel. We pray that you would protect them from the spirit world and help them to understand your power and your almighty hand. You are building your kingdom, O God, and the gates of hell will not prevail upon it. Help us to be faithful servants on this kingdom mission. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, let's get to reading. I'm ready if you are. Let's go. Ezekiel chapter 20. In the seventh year, in the fifth month, on the tenth day of the month, certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire of the Lord, and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, speak to the elders of Israel, and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Is it to inquire of me that you come? As I live, declares the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. Will you judge them, son of man? Will you judge them? Let them know the abominations of their fathers, and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, On the day when I chose Israel, I swore to the offspring of the house of Jacob, making myself known to them in the land of Egypt. I swore to them, saying, I am the Lord your God. On that day I swore to them that I would bring them out of the land of Egypt, into a land that I had searched out for them, a land flowing with milk and honey, the most glorious of all lands. And I said to them, Cast away the detestable things your eyes feast on, every one of you, and do not defile yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. But they rebelled against me, and were not willing to listen to me. None of them cast away the detestable things their eyes feasted on, nor did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, I would pour out my wrath upon them, and spend my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. But I acted for the sake of my name, that it should not be profaned in the sight of the nations among whom they lived, in whose sight I made myself known to them in bringing them out of the land of Egypt. So I led them out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness. I gave them my statutes and made known to them my rules, by which if a person does them, he shall live. Moreover, I gave them my Sabbaths as a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not walk in my statutes, but rejected my rules, by which if a person does them, he shall live, and my Sabbaths they greatly profaned. Then I said I would pour out my wrath upon them in the wilderness, to make a full end of them. But I acted for the sake of my name, that it should not be profaned in the sight of the nations, in whose sight I had brought them out. Moreover, I swore to them in the wilderness that I would not bring them into the land that I had given them, a land flowing with milk and honey, the most glorious of all lands, because they rejected my rules and did not walk in my statutes and profaned my Sabbaths, for their heart went after their idols. Nevertheless, my eye spared them, and I did not destroy them or make a full end of them in the wilderness. And I said to their children in the wilderness, Do not walk in the statutes of your fathers, nor keep their rules, nor defile yourselves with their idols. I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes, and be careful to obey my rules, and keep my Sabbaths holy, that they may be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. But the children rebelled against me. They did not walk in my statutes, and were not careful to obey my rules, by which if a person does them, he shall live. They profaned my Sabbaths. Then I said I would pour out my wrath upon them, and spend my anger against them in the wilderness. But I withheld my hand, and acted for the sake of my name, that it should not be profaned in the sight of the nations, in whose sight I had brought them out. Moreover, I swore to them in the wilderness that I would scatter them among the nations, and disperse them through the countries, because they had not obeyed my rules, but had rejected my statutes and profaned my Sabbaths. And their eyes were set on their father's idols. Moreover, I gave them statutes that were not good, and rules by which they could not have life. And I defiled them through their very gifts in their offering up all their firstborn, that I might devastate them. I did it that they might know that I am the Lord. Therefore, son of man, speak to the house of Israel, and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, In this also your fathers blasphemed me, by dealing treacherously with me. For when I had brought them into the land that I swore to give them, then, wherever they saw any high hill or any leafy tree, there they offered their sacrifices, and there they presented the provocation of their offering. There they sent up their pleasing aromas, and there they poured out their drink offerings. I said to them, "What is the high place to which you go?" So its name is called Bama to this day. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, "Thus says the Lord God, will you defile yourselves after the manner of your fathers, and go whoring after their detestable things? When you present your gifts and offer up your children in fire, you defile yourselves with all your idols to this day. And shall I be inquired of by you, O house of Israel? As I live, declares the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. What is in your mind shall never happen. The thought, let us be like the nations, like the tribes of the countries, and worship wood and stone. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm and with wrath poured out, I will be king over you. I will bring you out from the peoples and gather you out of the countries where you are scattered with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm and with wrath poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the peoples, and there I will enter into judgment with you face to face. As I entered into judgment with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so I will enter into judgment with you, declares the Lord God. I will make you pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. I will purge out the rebels from among you, and those who transgress against me. I will bring them out of the land where they sojourn, but they shall not enter the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord. As for you, O house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, go, serve every one of you his idols, now and hereafter, if you will not listen to me. But my holy name you shall no more profane with your gifts and your idols. For on my holy mountain, the mountain height of Israel, declares the Lord God, there all the house of Israel, all of them, shall serve me in the land. There I will accept them, and there I will require your contributions and the choicest of your gifts with all your sacred offerings. As a pleasing aroma, I will accept you when I bring you out from the peoples and gather you out of the countries where you have been scattered. And I will manifest my holiness among you in the sight of the nations. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I bring you into the land of Israel, the country that I swore to give your fathers. And there you shall remember your ways and all your deeds with which you have defiled yourselves. And you shall loathe yourselves for all the evils that you have committed. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I deal with you for my name's sake, not according to your evil ways, nor according to your corrupt deeds, O house of Israel, declares the Lord God. And the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, set your face toward the south land, preach against the south, and prophesy against the forest land in the Negev. Say to the forest of the Negev, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I will kindle a fire in you, and it shall devour every green tree in you and every dry tree. The blazing flame shall not be quenched, and all faces from south to north shall be scorched by it. All flesh shall see that I, the Lord, have kindled it. It shall not be quenched. Then I said, ah, Lord God, they are saying of me, is he not a maker of parables? Chapter 21. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, set your face toward Jerusalem, and preach against the sanctuaries. Prophesy against the land of Israel, and say to the land of Israel, thus says the Lord, behold, I am against you, and will draw my sword from its sheath, and will cut off from you both righteous and wicked. Because I will cut off from you both righteous and wicked, therefore my sword shall be drawn from its sheath against all flesh from south to north. And all flesh shall know that I am the Lord. I have drawn my sword from its sheath. It shall not be sheathed again. As for you, son of man, groan with breaking heart and bitter grief. Groan before their eyes. And when they say to you, why do you groan? You shall say, because of the news that is coming. Every heart will melt, and all hands will be feeble. Every spirit will faint, and all knees will be weak as water. Behold, it is coming, and it will be fulfilled, declares the Lord God. And the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, prophesy, and say, thus says the Lord. Say, a sword is sharpened, and also polished, sharpened for slaughter, polished to flash like lightning. Or shall we rejoice? You have despised the rod, my son, with everything of wood. So the sword is given to be polished, that it may be grasped in the hand. It is sharpened and polished to be given into the hand of the slayer. Cry out and wail, son of man, for it is against my people. It is against all the princes of Israel. They are delivered over to the sword with my people. Strike therefore upon your thigh, for it will not be a testing. What could it do if you despise the rod, declares the Lord God. As for you, son of man, prophesy. Clap your hands, and let the sword come down twice. Yes, three times. The sword for those to be slain. It is the sword for their great slaughter which surrounds them, that their hearts may melt and many stumble. At all their gates I have given the glittering sword. Ah, it is made like lightning. It is taken up for slaughter. Cut sharply to the right. Set yourself to the left, wherever your face is directed. I also will clap my hands, and I will satisfy my fury. I, the Lord, have spoken. The word of the Lord came to me again. As for you, son of man, mark two ways for the sword of the king of Babylon to come. Both of them shall come from the same land. And make a signpost. Make it at the head of the way to a city. Mark a way for the Lord to come to Rabbah of the Ammonites, and to Judah, into Jerusalem the fortified. For the king of Babylon stands at the parting of the way, at the head of the two ways, to use divination. He shakes the arrows. He consults the teraphim. He looks at the liver. Into his right hand comes the divination for Jerusalem, to set battering rams, to open the mouth with murder, to lift up the voice with shouting, to set battering rams against the gates, to cast up mounds, to build siege towers. But to them it will seem like a false divination. They have sworn solemn oaths, but he brings their guilt to remembrance, that they may be taken. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have made your guilt to be remembered, in that your transgressions are uncovered, so that in all your deeds your sins appear, because you have come to remembrance, you shall be taken in hand. And you, O profane, wicked one, prince of Israel, whose day has come, the time of your final punishment, thus says the Lord God, remove the turban and take off the crown. Things shall not remain as they are. Exalt that which is low, and bring low that which is exalted. A ruin, ruin, ruin I will make. This also shall not be, until he comes, the one to whom judgment belongs, and I will give it to him. And you, son of man, prophesy, and say, thus says the Lord God concerning the Ammonites, and concerning their reproach. Say, a sword is drawn for the slaughter. It is polished to consume and to flash like lightning. While they see for you false visions, while they divine lies for you, to place you on the necks of the profane wicked, whose day has come, the time of their final punishment. Return it to its sheath. In the place where you were created, in the land of your origin, I will judge you, and I will pour out my indignation upon you. I will blow upon you with the fire of my wrath, and I will deliver you into the hands of brutish men, skillful to destroy. You shall be fuel for the fire. Your blood shall be in the midst of the land. You shall be no more remembered, for I, the Lord, have spoken. After taking us through five chapters of Proverbs, riddles, parables, and laments, Ezekiel returns in chapter 20 to the language of straightforward history. This change is triggered by an attempt on the part of the elders of Israel to inquire of the Lord. Now, this is like they are wanting to hedge their bets and make sure they're on God's good side, while not actually wanting to submit to Him. Well, Ezekiel shuts the door in their faces. And though they didn't get to inquire of God, he had some words of his own. Ezekiel takes us through a history lesson of how God has worked with these people. He chooses a people, and they rebel against him, so he resigns them to judgment. But in his mercy, he doesn't make a complete end, but brings through a remnant, and then the whole process starts over again. Now, rebellion is never simply against some abstract conception of God, but it is rebellion against the personal God of grace. Satan always tries to persuade us, just like he did our first parents, that God is a harsh taskmaster who will exploit us and abuse us if we let him, and that he seeks to deny us things that are good. But the reality is exactly the opposite, for them and for us. God had made a perfect world for Adam and Eve to live in, and he placed them in the most perfect spot in it, a paradise. Their area of personal freedom was huge, and their restriction was minuscule. Yet, being deceived into reading that minuscule restriction as bondage, they gave themselves over to Satan's temptation, only to find out too late what true bondage really was. Similarly, God came to Israel in the midst of their miserable bondage and offered them the way to the total freedom of pure worship. He promised them not just any land, but a beautiful land for their own. Only the very best would do for God's people. Yet, however, they sought only half freedom. They wanted freedom from the unpleasant circumstances of their sin and from its messy complications, but not from the sin itself. They would rather keep their idols and perish in the desert than enter the promised land without them. And so also in our day, many people seek meaning and significance and purpose, but only on their own terms. Spirituality is a growth market. We are surrounded by a whole generation of seekers who assume that God can be found whenever and wherever they choose to seek him. For them, seeking is just a synonym for shopping. But as these elders discovered, God is not a customer service agent for whom the customer is always right. It is possible, in fact it's inevitable, that the determinedly open-minded seeker will not find an answer from Israel's God. We find ourselves today, then, perhaps more clearly than our parents did, in the midst of a society that is in headlong rebellion against God and is reaping the fruits of that rebellion, with seared consciences, irrationally self-destructive behaviors. I mean, we live in the midst of a society of adults and children suffering the traumatic effects of broken relationships, some cases ending up in alcohol and drug addiction as a means of deadening the pain of their deep sense of rejection and alienation. And others have buried themselves in their work and their career, seeking some kind of significance for their lives. And thus far, Ezekiel's words address us clearly. So, one of the implications of Ezekiel chapter 20 is that rebellion will inevitably be punished. Israel can never simply choose to be like the nations and thus remove herself from God's authority. There are only two choices for Israel. She can choose to accept her election and live on the basis of God's law, or she can rebel, as she has so often before, and face the consequences of certain death. Likewise, our generation needs people within the covenant community who are prophetically willing to call a spade, to call sin, sin, to speak of death and hell and the judgment to come. We need to confront the socially acceptable idols of comfort and success and career progress, which many in our churches attempt to combine with their commitment to Christ, as well as other blatantly pagan idolatries. We need to confront in our own hearts the continual temptation to remake our understanding of God into a comfortable reflection of our own image, instead of submitting to his self-revelation in Scripture. Now, it's not a comfortable message to proclaim in an age that calls idols of wood and stone just different paths to God, and calls the high places the church of your choice. But God has not changed, and the reality of his wrath must be recognized. Otherwise, we're simply deceiving ourselves and those around us with lies about God. Chapter 21 leaves me asking the question, How can the refiner's fire of God's wrath pass over us and not burn us alive? The answer is because it has already passed over Jesus and poured out its heat on him. How can the avenging sword of the Lord pass us by without destroying us? Because it was sheathed in the body of Jesus on the cross, so that it cannot further harm his people. God has raised his sword of judgment and brought it down on the shepherd in the place of the sheep. His death in our place makes it possible for us to come close to the avenging God of justice and not be destroyed by him. Through Jesus, a safe way has been made for us to approach God, whereby the fire of God's wrath is transformed into the refiner's fire, which purifies and tests, but does not destroy. And because of him, we may return to God and find him coming near to us also. That's not to say that we don't experience the testing of God's fire as believers. We do. That the quality of all of our work will be tested by that medium which will expose its true nature. That's what we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If we've built with lasting materials upon the only foundation for our lives as Christians, in Christ, the finished work of Christ, there will be rewards stored up for us. But if we have only built with shoddy temporary materials, then all that we have labored for here on earth will be destroyed. The prospect of this fire to come is a sobering challenge to the believer to examine whether he or she is building suitably for this test. Yet even that believer who has built the least enduring structure on the foundation of Christ will not be destroyed by the testing of the fire. Though his or her work may count for nothing, he or she will still be saved because the destructive power of the fire has all been absorbed by Jesus. But that safety is only for those for whom Christ died. Those outside Christ are left exposed to the full weight of the crushing, piercing, burning wrath of God. The fire of God's anger against sin has not been extinguished, nor has the sword of his wrath been blunted. There are no innocent bystanders. None will excuse their actions by reference to God's sovereignty. A day is established for God's final and complete judgment over all flesh when Jesus Christ will ride forth to battle with a sharp sword coming from his mouth, treading the winepress of the fury of God's wrath. He will make war on all the forces that oppose God, and anyone whose name has not been written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be thrown into the lake of fire. Now, the doctrine of eternal torment in hell is not popular these days. In fact, it probably never has been popular, even in the heyday of Puritan preaching. In the modern world in particular, however, it's rarely the topic of sermons. Far more often, it's the subject of attempts to present the biblical teaching in a kinder, gentler light. As John Gerstner so aptly put it, modern theology has tended to take either the pain out of eternity or the eternity out of pain. Like the inhabitants of Jerusalem, we are convinced that the judge will choose the other road and we will be spared. We don't really believe that the Bible's teaching on eternal punishment should be taken seriously, at least not with reference to ourselves. But it's precisely with reference to ourselves that we should consider this doctrine. As C.S. Lewis reminds us, in all our discussions of hell, we should keep steadily before our eyes the possible damnation, not of our enemies, nor of our friends, since both these disturb the reason, but of ourselves. This is not about your wife or son, nor about Nero or Judas Iscariot. It is about you and me.
Thank you for joining me today. I hope this has been encouraging to you. If so, please let me know by visiting the links that you find under the Connect With Us section in the show notes. I'm a simple man and I could use the encouragement. If you've been blessed enough that you would like to support the podcast, I would greatly appreciate that as well. You can go to buymeacoffee.com/DBR podcast to make either a one-time gift or to sign up for a monthly recurring membership gift. Until tomorrow, keep reading and keep worshiping.